August 23rd, and we have here Tom Osander. Tom, when were you born?
October 6th, 1966. That's the day.
And what is your permanent address?
How about present address?
What's your permanent address?
246 Ardmore Avenue, Trenton, New Jersey.
Is that your parents' house?
No. It's Jimmy D's.
Okay. Ardmore just seems familiar. All right, Tom, why don't you tell me the important things about your life to put on one page, like what it was like growing up, what happened to you, and your spiritual path today. So you can put our episodes with things that are profound and what you've learned and talk about it. We've got like 90 minutes of tape here. You can use however much of that tape you want. I'll be back in a little while.
I'm my cigarettes. Can I pause it for 1 second to get my cigarettes? I have to smoke.
Okay, here we have Tom Osander, and it's all yours.
It's all mine. What am I doing? So I'm supposed to talk about exciting things in my life, and growing up, and using drugs, stuff like that. I guess it's pretty important to say that growing up was a bit traumatic. Growing up was not comfortable. Growing up was really scary. Living in general was scary. From as far back as I can remember, I felt strange. I looked around and saw other people, and people seemed to have their stuff together and were happy and comfortable, and there were things that had been told to me, or things that I had grown up with that made me feel unlike these people. I remember from a really small age being told, why can't you be as good as, Jimmy down the street, or why can't you be more like them, or you're not supposed to think that way, and you're not supposed to feel that way, you're different. Something wrong with you. And I believe it. Tell a kid, a small child, something, and they believe it. And so I grew up thinking that I was different, thinking that there were things about me that weren't right, and that the things that I thought and the things that I felt were wrong. So I learned that it was best not to talk about how I felt, and best not to talk about how I was doing, or what I was thinking, or if I should talk about those things, I'd lie and say the opposite of the way I felt. I was definitely a person that you might meet and feel comfortable with and all that, but even after quite some time of being with me, you might still feel that you really didn't know me at all. I grew up with a lot of fear. Really scared. I feared people and dealing with people and relating to people and feared authority and people in control. Yet, on the flip side, I wanted to be that person in control. I wanted to be the authoritarian. I wanted to be the teacher and the policeman, the politician, you know, the person that told others what to do. Felt funky. You know, my family life was, I certainly believe that I'm a product of my surroundings, and I was certainly surrounded by my immediate family quite a bit growing up, and didn't feel comfortable with them. You know, they were some of the main people that told me that I was different and that I was strange and that the things I thought were wrong. And you know, I clammed up around them. I learned it was best not to make waves. You know, I guess with all the craziness and internal pain going on, on the outside, I you know, kind of led everybody to believe that things were cool. You know, that way I wouldn't make waves and I wouldn't have people questioning me and, you know, checking me out. And so la-di-da. You know, I found that I found some things that allowed me to feel kind of okay, and allowed me to feel a part of and to fit in and to sort of get a high from. I learned that if I lied, I could get over and I could fit in, and I got kind of a rush from it. It felt good. And yeah, you know. Same kind of thing if I stole something. You know, I could impress people and fit in and feel cool. Yeah. Always wanted to feel cool. I looked around at other people, and there were certain people that were definitely cool, you know. Heroes that I looked up to in the movies and stuff, who had their shit together, and they were cool, you know. They drank beer and smoked cigarettes and hung out and got laid and fit in, man. You know, everybody idolized them, everybody looked up to them, everybody said, yeah, they got it. I wanted that. I wanted to be the person on the screen. I wanted to be it in everyday life, you know. So I did these things, and they worked for a while, you know. But after a while, the thrill wears off. The thrill is gone. And, had to find something else. And you know, all that sort of idolizing people who drank beer and smoked joints and looked cool and had their shit together, you know, kind of led me right to those substances, and it didn't take too long after they were put in my face for me to pick up some drugs. And there wasn't a whole lot of there was experimental stages, you know, but it was more, man, it was like, this thing is it. This is what I've been looking for. I got high. I was there. I was feeling the way I thought everybody else felt. And that's what I wanted. Feeling a part of. Feeling cool. And that was all right. That was cool. So I took off. Spent several years trying to hold on to that feeling and trying to move that pain and you know, keep those things that I'd felt for so long suppressed and out of the way, and just trying to have a good time. Trying to feel good. Trying to feel okay. And it worked. It worked well. You know, drugs were a solution to all the craziness and the problems and the fears and pain and, you know, that I felt for so long. Drugs were it. The thing is that they kind of worked the same way stuff that I had done earlier, like the lying and the stealing worked. After a while, it, you know, wasn't quite there anymore. I mean, it worked, but I began to use up the friends I had. And trust was kind of broken. People had to watch me for fear that I might take something of theirs. I began to sense that I was yet again apart from, you know, that I was not being accepted as I had for a brief period, you know. And all those feelings of fear and of pain and insecurity and being rejected and being a part of, you know, came back full force. And, you know, kind of shattered me. There were a lot of things, you know, incidences and particular things that happened when I was using, you know, what we choose to call war stories. And I guess if I sat here and thought hard enough, I could come up with those, but they're far from dazzling and far from, you know, impressive. They probably wouldn't stand up to those who can talk about putting needles in their dicks and shit like that. That's pretty impressive, huh? But basically, I just hurt a lot, you know, and that and what I did was I spent most of my life looking for a way not to hurt. And it wasn't until I found a sort of spiritual way of living that there was any possibility for freedom from the pain. You know, freedom from the walls that I'd put up and all the bad feelings, you know. Everything that I tried lasted only so long and then wore out, you know, because everything that I tried was on the outside, you know. Lying and stealing and cheating and conning and manipulating were all things that I did on the outside, you know. They weren't internal. And using drugs was yet another exterior self-destructive thing, you know. It was stuff from the outside. It wasn't an internal healing. The path that I'm on today is all about basing my life on spiritual truths, spiritual principles. Simply good things, you know. you know, the good feelings and the things that I knew way back were probably good, that I suppressed for so long, are what I'm getting back to now. You know, the recovery process, the recovery from the disease I have, the disease of addiction, is about basing my life on spiritual principles. Things like honesty, things like hope, belief and faith, and caring, and willingness, and reciprocity, and love. Love. These things, when they're in my life today, feel good. I can get the feeling that I've looked for all my life today by just trying to walk a spiritual line. And it has nothing to do with any sort of religion or crazy, you know, whacked out stuff. It's really pretty simple. It's being the best person I can be today. It's being the most honest, most caring, most loving person I can be. It's opening up my heart to good. I believe in an energy force. I believe in a power that's far superior to me by myself. And I get that energy, I get that power through a lot of people. People that today I'm willing to accept in my life, and people that I'm willing to feel and to accept their love and their light. I found it real important to have good people in my life. Because I push people away. I push people away most of my life out of fear and out of self-centeredness and obsession with myself. That if I can't do it by myself, well then fuck it. Because it's not going to get done. You don't have anything to offer me. I'm not like you. And today it's all about turning that around and taking people in and loving them and being loved and caring and being cared for. The total 180 degree turn that my life has taken since I stopped using drugs and found a higher power and good people, you know, the change is unbelievable. It's hard to sit here by myself and talk into a tape deck and feel it all and express it all, because this is strange, you know. This is not a normal thing for me to do, to sit here in front of a tape deck and and run this stuff. But the way I live today, quite honestly, is better than any way I'd ever thought possible. And I have no idea what's going to happen in the future, and for the most part, that's okay. That doesn't matter. And I, in turn, have no regrets about the past. I don't regret anything that I've done, because I really believe that all the things that have happened to me and the experiences in my life and the feelings that I've felt and the pain and the joy and the sorrow and all that have were necessary, you know, brought me to the point I'm at today. So I don't regret any of that. I look to the future with hope, which is a lot more than I used to. You know, I used to dread having to wake up in the morning, knowing that I was going to wake up in the morning and have to deal with life and or not deal with life or find a way to not deal with life. You know, the fact that my life is not so totally run by fear today is a real gift. A real gift that I'm grateful for. And, what can I say? I'm living and enjoying life today. And that's pretty wild. It's a trip. It's definitely a trip, man. No doubt. So, I don't quite know what to wrap with or how to finish this up, but perhaps I'll just leave it at that, with a hope for the future. And a prayer for peace. Chris K has come back and said that I didn't talk enough.
Start from the pain. Why are you an addict?
Why am I an addict?
Why are we here?
Why are we
an addict?
An addict.
Can you make a difference? Just the way.
This is so strange, man.
You just took too much acid, man.
Took too much acid. You know, the bitch of it is, as I was doing this, as I'm, you know, running through this stuff, and I didn't, you know, do, like, war story shit. Because it really, honestly, is foggy. I mean, and it's also not especially, you know, wild shit. Or real crazy shit. I basically did a lot of isolating and you know, getting high by myself. You know, I didn't raise too much hell and was pretty passive. So there's not a lot of big time glamorous.
No, you talked about your feelings and your difficulties in life.
I did that. That's not hard. Growing up feeling inadequate is that I can remember. That's real obvious. Being told that I was inadequate. Being told that there's something not right. There's spending 8 years in counseling. You know, probably about 4 of those before I even used anything. Just because I had convinced myself that I was different, convinced myself that there was something not right about me. But yet sitting in 8 years of counseling, getting almost no further than how do you feel, I don't know. Until I cleaned up, I was not capable of telling anyone how I felt, honestly. Because when I had, when I was really small, I was told that it was wrong. Not supposed to feel that way. Shut up. I shut down. Of all the friends I had, there was no one that knew me. No one that really knew, you know, what went on inside. Because outside, everything was cool. Everything was easygoing, and life was alright, and
one side it was like fucking crazy. Just real scared. Real alone, real isolated. Everything that happens comes in up here, comes in through my head, and stays up there, gets processed, and figured out, and questioned, and analyzed, and tossed around, and bounced back. You're gonna have to sit through all this shit.
Yeah.
Huh?
So talk some good shit.
Talk some good shit. I don't have any good shit, man.
Think about what you've learned in all these years.
I don't know what I learned. I still feel really. I still feel fucked up. You know? I feel. It's crazy because everybody always said, you know. You gotta do well in school because if you don't, someday you're gonna look back and you're gonna regret it. You know, you gotta do this and you gotta do that and you gotta do that because one day you're gonna regret it if you don't. And, I do, man. I fucked around in school and I didn't do anything and now today there's a lot of that backwash. Feeling like I fucked up. Feeling like a lot of my life is a real waste. Although, you know, I don't. I mean, it happened and it can't be changed, and it was important that it happened because it got me where I am today, but still, there seems to be so much waste. You know? Just sort of wasting the gift of life. Kind of thing. I didn't want to be here. I didn't ask to be here. I resent my parents a lot. I can't hang around my parents today more than 15 minutes before I have to leave. Before I go fucking nuts. They're driving crazy. But exactly the same as they were as far back as I can remember. Drugs, man. Drugs. I use drugs. I used drugs for 6 years. Let's see, if I got clean when I was 18, that means I started using when I was 12. By the time I started using, I was gone. Man, I didn't even get to shoot dopamine. Beat a lot of people out of drugs, and I stole a lot of drugs, and I stole a lot of other people's stuff, and I got caught a lot. And I lied a lot, and I got caught in my lies a lot. I owe people money today. I hide from them today, so. I'm real afraid of people. Whenever I walk into a room, all right, who's here and who do I have to be? Who am I going to play tonight? What's the game? Women are weird. Women are strange birds. Truly strange. So I have to be famous. That's one thing that I believe for many, many years. From the time I started playing music, I really believed that I was going to be famous. And that would be it. Once I got famous and I got lots of money and I was rich, you know, I could walk down the street and people would look at me and point. So you know, there he goes. That's what I wanted. That's what I want. I still want that. I still don't doubt that that's possible. A lot of it is total ego, though. Total ego. And it's amazing through all the craziness and the feelings of total inadequacy, and being insecure, not being as good as. You know, I still thought that I was totally better than everybody, on the other hand. Just one step above everybody else. Feeling different. Where do we go from here?
You're the Sunday speaker, or you're the Sunday speaker. What are you
going to
say?
I'm going to tell my story.
Like you did just then?
No. Probably more like I did at the beginning, but not even that much. I mean, when I get up and tell my story, I add humor and, you know, and my own, you know, sort of light personality. It's quite different sitting in a room full of people and sharing in front of them, and then just sitting in front of a tape deck and, you know, having to like shit. This, I can't get a response from this, man. I can't get a smile or a laugh or a tear, and that just sits there and turns and spins, and I just, you know.
You're a musician. Take stuff all the time.
But it's different. I mean, it's music is a way that I can express myself well, and you know, whether it's in front of people or whether it's when I'm recording, it seems totally different than sitting here talking about me, talking about inside me, you know, the things that I've felt, you know, craziness in my life. It's different. don't always feel comfortable expressing myself verbally. I feel comfortable expressing myself musically. Although I know that, you know, I can get up in front of people and share and make people laugh and touch people, you know, when I want to. It just seems so sterile. Cold. What do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? I don't hear shit like
that. It's your page.
My page. If it were my page, I'd write it. Rather than trying to pick it out off the tape. I'd sit down and I'd write it.
I can sit down and write it tonight. I'm going to bed.
I need to go to bed.
You can click off the tape when you're done talking.
What is this thing all about? What is this saying? It's just saying that you've got me.
Yeah,
this is saying that you've got me by the balls. That you've got my picture and anything that I say or write.
I don't know about anything you say or write.
No, this is just the picture.
Right.
If you use my picture, you have to use
it. You see, a publisher won't print
anything
I have unless I have to.
Right. I don't want my last name, man. I want Tomo. T-O-M-O.
Can't be done.
What?
Does everybody else speak to their full name?
I'll legally change my name, but...
Right.
Now, where's this going to show up?
It's like the book. Christian University Bookstore.
You're a dog, Keely. It's University Bookstore.